I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubble gum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello, welcome back to the All Out of Bubblegum podcast. I am Marty, and with me today I have Brandon.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine. We're talking about a good movie today.
Oh, yeah. That's one way of putting it. I mean, not good in the conventional sense, but I had a good time.
Yes, because we're here to talk about Stealth, mm-hmm. which is a infamous box office flop from 2005. It's not very much liked, but I think we both enjoyed it.
Yes.
Yeah. Went in with low expectations, was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that one. And yeah, the reason I wanted to do this is I knew it was just going to be the two of us today. And, you know, you don't want to do a movie that's anybody's favorite because you want more people there. So I was like, oh, what are we going to do? And then I was watching a show called Long Slow Exhale that stars Josh Lucas, among other people. And I was like, hey, remember when Hollywood tried to make him a leading man? It was weird. I've never actually seen Stealth.
No, huh. Neither have I.
And it just seemed like exactly the kind of dumb shit that you would be into. So I suggested
yes.
It. Yeah.
You know my taste.
Yes. Didn't take a lot of convincing either.
Oh, no. When you recommended this to me to watch, I was like, I gotta do this. This looks like a disaster piece. My kind of movie. Let's watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of like Top Gun Maverick, but stupid.
Very stupid. Yes, it's Top Gun meets 2001 A Space Odyssey, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's about... Well, I like that you said 2001 A Space Odyssey, because I thought about that one as well, but mostly because of the structure of the story.
Oh, really? I was just thinking about it because of the HAL guy, the self-driving airplane.
Yeah, well, that's there, but then same as with 2001... That plotline sort of gets resolved and there's still like 20 to 30 minutes of movie left.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. This movie does end like that, or kind of end like that. Like, you have to go back to North Korea and all that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and same with 2001. Like, HAL gets resolved, but then there's all the stuff about the floating space baby and...
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. I'd rather watch Stealth than 2001. I know that's
me
probably...
Too.
Yeah. Sorry, 2001. You have the best special effects of all time, but Stealth? No. It has, like, giant, like, zeppelins over Tajikistan blowing up with people flying to North Korea and blowing up North Koreans. This is Stealth is where it's at. I'm sorry. Sorry, 2001. Sorry, Kubrick.
Yes. Though the zeppelin isn't actually over Tajikistan. It's Blinker, you'll miss it, but it's actually over the Pacific Ocean.
Oh,
they
the geography is all over
really
the place.
Fast.
Yeah, the geography is all over the place in this movie. They go to blow up like a fortress in Tajikistan. The next thing you know, they're jettisoning over North Korea, which would require them to fly over China or Russia. So, and I know these planes can go like 12 times the speed of light, but I don't know. The geography is all over the place, which only made it more enjoyable.
Yeah, they really can go anywhere in like 1 minute.
Yes.
So yeah. Josh Lucas stars in this one. It was, I think, this one and Poseidon, where he was sort of pushed to become a leading man.
Mm.
But both weren't the biggest box office successes.
No.
I think Poseidon made back its money, but this one, huge flop.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because this movie feels like the quintessential early 2000s PG-13 CGI heavy slop. It just feels like the perfect example of that style of filmmaking.
Yeah. Perfectly serviceable as a dumb blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it might actually be better than, well, probably definitely better than the shit we get today.
Well, it's more entertaining than a lot of the shit we get today. I don't know if it's, like, better crafted in terms of, like, movie-making talent. But, I mean, I'd rather watch Stealth than, like, a lot of the stuff that comes out that I see in theaters. Not that I see in theaters, but I see in trailers.
Yeah. And the CGI holds up. I was impressed.
Yeah, I want to.
Still looks good. Yeah.
I want to say it's like top notch. Because there are a few moments where you like see something and you're kind of like, that looks a little phony. But for the most part, you know, you can tell this had a big budget. I mean, the CGI is perfectly serviceable.
Yeah. And real explosions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe some of the best movie explosions ever in this one.
Yeah, I was reading the IMDb trivia page. They said they had notified NASA about one of the explosions because it was so big. They're like, oh, this is not a nuclear test, people. This is just some stupid-ass movie we're making. So don't be alarmed when you see like an explosion from outer space.
Yeah. I don't know what NASA would have to do with that information, but sure.
Yeah, good point.
We don't really handle explosions on Earth. We're a space agency, but okay.
Yes, this is not a nuclear test.
No, which would probably still be bigger than the big explosion in this movie.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Yeah, this movie, very early 2000s and directed by Rob Cohen, who had made The Fast and the Furious and probably the most early 2000s action movie, Triple X.
Oh, that is a good one. That rivals Stealth for like the title of like most quintessential early 2000s schlock. Triple X is good.
I don't agree with you on that one, but sure.
I mean, it's bad, but it's fun. Yes. I mean, it's not good, but no. It is good.
And I, like, in my memory, I had it almost, I was almost certain that Stealth killed his career.
Hmm.
But no, he actually went on to do The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor after this one.
Oh, really? Another big flop. I think it was a big flop. Was it a flop?
Yeah, I think so, because they were planning on having a fourth one as well, but that one never got made.
No. This guy really knows how to make like the flops that I enjoy, because I enjoy the third Mummy movie in like a weird kind of way. I mean, it's not a good movie like any movie we've talked about so far, but it's fun.
Yeah, that one I do like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he also made the terrible, terrible Sylvester Stallone movie, Daylight.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. Mm. Oh, sad face.
You'll probably like it.
I probably will.
Also in the movie, Jessica Biel, who, I mean, she just kicks ass. This was right after Blade Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she was on the way to being some sort of like action movie regular mainstay.
Mm-hmm.
But then this movie flopped and sort of just died down.
Which is unfortunate because she's a very convincing action star in this movie.
Yeah. And Blade Trinity too. Yeah.
Yeah, she gets it done.
And I think she was in Cellular with Jason Statham as well.
Oh.
And London with Jason Statham, but that's not an action film.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked her. And Jamie Foxx is in there as well.
Oh, he steals the show.
Yeah. It's so weird that Josh Lucas is the lead, and then Jamie Foxx is in here as sort of like the third wheel.
Yeah, because these days you look back and you say, oh, this is a Jamie Foxx film.
Yeah.
And you watch it and you're like, oh, wait, he dies halfway through. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah, but also I think they shot this film before he made Ray, and then it was released after he won the Oscar. Oh. So the marketing for this one sort of propped him up as the lead.
Which makes sense because, I mean, he's Jamie Foxx. He's more charismatic than, like, the person I forgot the name of who's the lead actor. Josh Lucas, yeah.
Yeah. Who is, like, a great actor. He shows up in a lot of movies. He's always good. It is sort of weird to not see him play, like, some guy backstabbing the lead character. He's always some sort of, like, he's a member of the board. He's part of the hierarchy. He's always kind of a douchebag. And in this one, he is a douchebag, but he's a good guy.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because this is just like the early 2000s, like, I'm 13 and this is cool type douchebaggery, you know, like, that appeals to like all the inner teenagers in us. It's just like they're like trading quips at the bar, like, oh yeah, like, I'm so cool and I'm hip. And it's just, it's not hip at all. It's god awful, but it's so much fun to watch.
Yes. So the movie starts with some text explaining us about the movie, and it's very clear that this movie was made not long after 9/11.
Yes, terrorism is very much on people's mind here.
Yes. To combat the mounting threat of terrorism, a new program has been created. That just the screams Patriot early 2000s. Yeah. That just screams early 2000s.
It does. And it's got, like, the text is, like, flying through, like, the sky. Like, they use this in, like, some movie maker program on your computer. Like, the text just kind of, like, zooming all over the place.
Yeah. Setting the tone perfectly. And then the first thing we see is them on a training mission, mm-hmm. which immediately just showcases the explosions in this film.
Yes!
I saw the explosions and I was like, okay, you know what? I might enjoy this one.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as like the text ended and that hip-hop beat began, which was so embarrassing.
Yeah,
as a tech, even, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is what I found my place. Yeah.
It even goes from like a regular score and then slowly morphs into the hip-hop beat.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that, but they did it and it doesn't work, so I enjoyed it. And the planes are flying all over.
This isn't your daddy's Iron Eagle.
Yeah. This is for the early 2000s, 13-year-olds out there.
The emo goths.
Emo goths. And yeah, the training scene is actually pretty good. They blow up a bunch of mannequins in a cave and they blow up some trucks that aren't moving. The explosions are huge. And it sets the tone for the movie, which is good. And it's really kind of gets things off on a high note.
And then we get a scene where Jamie Foxx talks about prime numbers. For some reason.
Well, yeah, because they're lucky, don't you know?
Yeah, but then, of course, later we know, like, oh, 2 is also a prime number, and so is 1.
Yeah, that's true.
So, is he saying he's cool with people dying? Is that like, just no more new members?
Yes, no new members, unless it's 2 new members, but not 1 new member.
Yeah, because their new member is an AI-operated fighter jet, which means this movie was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, this part felt oddly prescient. Because, like, for the most part, this movie is just slop. It's dopey slop. And then they have this, like, AI drone. And that's, like, what's happening in the news all the time. And you're thinking, wow, this movie is kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah, also, nowadays, the world is really stupid, and this movie is really stupid.
Yeah, it's like Idiocracy in a way.
Yeah, it's so predictive. Oh, we also get some stunt casting because this movie has 2 members, 2 cast members who were also in the Terminator franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, David Joe Andrews.
Morton. Oh.
Joe Morton is one of them, yes. Mm-hmm. And we get David Andrews as a senator. He was Claire Danes' father in Terminator 3. But yeah, Joe Morton is like the leader of the director of Cyberdyne in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of cool stunt casting, I think. Would have been mm-hmm. cooler if they gotten Arnold to voice the drone.
We need a voice for this drone. Let's get the one we can't understand. Yeah. Like, I'm doing my programming. Oh, that is good. Oh, man. Now I really... They dropped the ball. What can I say?
Yeah. And we get a scene of all the characters listening to terrible early 2000s music.
Yes. I'll say each character is listening to a different song, but each song is like identical to the other one. It's just like this horrible, like, I don't even know how to explain it. What is it, like rap rock shit? I don't even know.
I think that's what Jamie Foxx is listening to, yeah.
Okay.
And he also spins a basketball, just in case we didn't realize he is black yet.
Stereotypes are fun, people. Yes.
Another part of this movie that was kind of fun that happens here is we get sort of like a gratuitous ass shot of Jessica Biel.
Is that when they're swimming in the waterfall area in Thailand?
We get that one too. That's later. But no, here she's talking to Josh Lucas and he's sitting down on her bed. And we sort of look at him from behind her, but like because he's sitting down, the camera's behind her ass.
Oh.
So half the frame is her ass, and George Lucas is the other half.
Yeah, it's an early 2000s film for sure.
Not as bad with the sexism as some of the other movies we've talked about recently.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But not quite perfect yet.
Yeah.
And not to mention that when he gets up, he walks into her clothing line and her bra.
Mm-hmm. Hits him in the face.
Yeah.
Very progressive.
We needed that scene. Yeah. So then they go on their first mission with Eddie, I think they call him, Extreme yeah. Deep Invader.
Yeah.
Which, kind of a terrible name. Not gonna lie.
Yes, that is. They could have just called it the drone. No. The Extreme Deep Invader.
Invader of what? Like, what? Mm. An extreme deep. It's
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
No, they have to stop some terrorists from planning to destroy the United States in Myanmar, Rangoon.
Yeah. Supposedly, the explosion for the building was considered too close to like what happened on 9/11, so they kind of altered the explosion a little bit.
Mm.
That's what IMDb says, so...
Okay, yeah, could be. Yeah. Though, I mean, like, it was 4 years. Get over it, people. No, no. No, it was still pretty fresh, I think, for most people, yeah.
Yes.
No, but there's some stuff about how they want to avoid casualties or collateral damage, civilians dying.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to figure out what to do. But the roof is like really thick concrete, so they can't just drop a bomb in there. And then Eddie comes up with a plan to take the plane up really high and do a nosedive so that the plane picks up speed and the bomb will have enough speed to go through the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great plan.
Yeah. I mean, there is that cool shot, though. Whole series of shots of like the plane like doing the dive bombing, and then it pulls up at last moment. It's flying pretty much like right along the street of Rangoon. You know, it's like lights are flashing by as it like flies at like 10 million miles an hour. That's I like that part.
You didn't like the you? I thought you were going to talk about the explosion because that looks awesome.
I mean, yes.
When the bomb goes through the building, goddamn, that's cool.
Yeah, and it like doesn't just go through the roof, which they were worried about. It goes all the way to the basement and like destroys multiple floors. Then when it goes up in flames and the flames go up like from the basement all the way to the roof and the building collapses, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was reading on IMDb, once again, the trivia section. It said this movie is actually set in 2016, so...
Yeah, I read that too, but there's no indication of this at all in the movie.
Yeah, no.
And in 2016, nobody was listening to Incubus anymore.
They're just retro fans, all of them.
Yes, including the drone.
Yeah, the drone is a bad guy because it pirates music.
Yeah.
So it's like, where does it get this music from? From the internet. How'd he get it? It downloaded it on LimeWire or something like that. Yeah. It's just like, that's why it's glitching out so much.
How many songs did it get? All of them.
All of them. Yeah. And it still only plays those songs. I mean, can we have some like some Led Zeppelin or something? No. It's dealing with this like early 2000s alt rock that nobody likes anymore.
Led Zeppelin would have been appropriate for scene later.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about yet, but...
The tanker Zeppelin thing.
Oh! We're getting there, yeah.
Which is a Zeppelin made of steel and glass, it seems like. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, the Eddie talks about, like, if we do this, you have a 73% chance to black out.
Yeah.
Now, AI is data-driven, so the Navy must have had enough data to come up with this percentage. Like, they did this often enough to know.
Yeah. These old Nazi science.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But so they succeed. Eddie is sort of a hero. But then they try to land on the aircraft carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln. And lightning strikes and he goes crazy.
Yeah. You even see the DNA strands break apart, which is interesting.
Yes. That's so stupid.
I can't explain it, but that's what happens.
Yeah, we get those like the Fast and the Furious shots, like in the Fast and the Furious when he pressed the nitro, the NOS. You get those shots of going into the car and seeing the canister and whatnot, and all the wires. We get that here, except it goes down to DNA level of a plane. So, yeah, it gets hit by lightning and that turns him evil, but he still lands. Then we get a scene where George Lucas basically explains the, well, I think what they were going for when it comes to the theme of the movie. Where he talks to Sam Shepard, who we haven't mentioned yet, by the way.
Wow.
He says, machines don't have instinct, feelings, or moral judgment, so we still need humans. Which, no, I guess is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until machines become more moral than humans, I guess.
Yeah, hasn't happened yet, I think.
Hasn't happened yet, yeah.
And then they go to the waterfall that we already talked about, go to Thailand for some R&R. Jamie Foxx uses maybe the worst pickup lines in movie history. And they work.
Well, in all fairness, the Thai woman he picks up can't speak English, so...
Yeah.
So that's why they work. He could have said anything. He could have said, like, hey, you know what 2 + 2 equals? And then, like, she would have been like, what? You're hot. Or something like that.
Hey, weren't you in Ray? Oh. Some gratuitous shots of our heroes. Well, our white heroes without clothes in their swimwear. Yeah. And we also get the idea of a love story brewing. And we've had it a bit before, but here Jamie Foxx is like, oh, you love Jessica Biel. And I know all these characters have names, but I'm just going to keep calling them by their actors' names because that's easier.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Foxx is also like, and you can't go out with her because she's on her way to the top and you'll only ruin her chances or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, right after that, Jessica Biel confesses her feelings for Josh Lucas and he walks away. So sad.
Untouched.
I was glued to the screen. How is it?
I think this was the part where I fell asleep.
Luckily, there's an emergency in Tajikistan.
Yes.
Which probably, when this movie came out, was the first time most Americans heard there was a Tajikistan.
Yes, probably. There's a Tajikistan? There's a new one?
This movie takes place in Myanmar and Tajikistan. Those are all made up.
Yeah, this is how Americans learn geography. War and movies.
Yes. Now, there's some terrorists who have warheads.
Mm-hmm.
They stole them somehow with their cows.
Yes. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Was it the Sum of All Fears where we actually see a Middle Eastern terrorist moving a nuclear warhead with his, like, donkey or camel?
Oh, I can't remember. I've seen the film, but probably.
This one, not quite as bad, but close to it. A bunch of arcs-driven wooden carts that have warheads on.
Well, that's basically modern-day North Korea for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so here we get the theme of the movie tested, because if they blow up the nuclear warheads, there might be some radioactive dust killing nearby farmers.
Mm-hmm. Something that's never touched on again after it takes place.
No. It's like, see it happen, and it's really sad, and we move on.
Yeah, it's shocking in a way, because there's this whole Tajik village nearby, and they get dusted with all this nuclear stuff that's going to give them cancer for generations. And the movie just kind of, who cares? Let's focus more on the AI plane. That's what we people care about. We don't want to hear about a bunch of civilians slowly dying from cancer. We want to hear more about Hal blowing up North Koreans.
Yeah.
So there is that.
The movie ends with what basically is the start of World War III.
Yeah.
And that's never touched upon either. So.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Everybody's Stealth dying two. Left and right. Yeah.
Stealth two.
Everybody
total
dies.
Total annihilation.
Yeah, this is the happy one.
Yeah, but so the humans decide to abort the mission because there's too much innocent civilian lives at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie the bastard. Eddie the AI bastard. He he just goes ahead. He bombs the bomb.
Yeah, it's a nice action scene, but consequences of it are totally forgotten about, which is unfortunate, but we get some big explosions out of it, so that's
yay,
good.
Yay, that's what we came
yay,
for.
Explosions, people dying, yay.
We're not here to think.
So they try to shoot down Eddie after this, correct? Take him down for going
yeah,
rogue?
Yeah, Sam Shepard first says that they have to take him in one piece. I wanted to say alive, but it's a machine, so it's not alive, but...
Yes.
And then, you know, sad, Jamie Foxx dies.
Yeah. Why would they do that to, like, the most charismatic actor in the film?
I don't know.
Okay, we have no answers for that one.
No. Because Rob Cohen is a genius. We trust in his judgment.
Yes. Always trust Rob Cohen.
Yeah, and then Jamie Foxx tries to fire a missile, or he fires a missile at Eddie, and the explosion, when it hits the mountain, causes him to get hit by debris, I think, is what happens from the mountain. And we get a really cool shot of him flying into the mountain in slow motion.
Yeah, that was definitely got my attention. That was a nice shot.
Yeah, great stuff.
And I wasn't even sure if, you know, like, Jamie Foxx died or then you're going to do, like, one of those fake outs, you know, like The Rise of Skywalker where he's like, oh, he actually jettisoned that last second or something like that. But no, he's dead.
I was expecting that as well, yeah.
Yeah, he's dead as hell.
Because he's Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we get introduced to Richard Roxburgh's character, mm-hmm. Keith Orbit, the man who invented the machine.
Yeah, he's kind of like Elon Musk if Elon Musk was sympathetic.
Yes, he's a charismatic, sympathetic Elon Musk, that's true. Yeah, and Eddie had like training programs in its program, programmed into mm-hmm. itself, and it thinks it's has to execute Operation Caviar Sweep?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Something that does not sound good to eat.
No. So it goes to, is it Siberia that it goes to?
Yeah, yeah, in Russia.
Oh, wait, no, the debris from Jamie Foxx's explosion hit Jessica Biel's plane as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to return to the ship, and to do this, of course, she has to fly over North Korea.
Yes, all the way over China, Mongolia, and Russia, North Korea, to get to the ship, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so she goes down over North Korea, has to eject, and I think like the terrible CGI that you were talking about happens there?
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of silly. It doesn't look convincing that she is hurtling through the air.
No.
But yeah, it's a short scene, so yeah.
Yeah, it works, but yeah, it's not the most convincing thing in the movie.
No. Yeah, and then Eddie and Josh Lucas go to a big glass and steel Zeppelin flying over the Pacific Ocean.
This scene caught my attention a lot. This is just the most absurd thing. Do these exist? I don't even know. They just... I know you can refuel a plane in midair if you like...
Yes.
They do that in Doctor Strangelove at the beginning, but like, I don't even know what the hell this thing is. It's no. Just like this big Zeppelin that just floats over nowhere that you can like... Is it like a McDonald's where you can like get a drive-through in the middle of nowhere? Is this like... They just like the government like sponsors Zeppelins that you can like refuel airplanes on that just float over the ocean or wherever this is at? I don't understand.
It looked like something out of a Red Alert, one of the video games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does look kind of science fiction-y. Well, this is kind of a science fiction movie, but yeah, more science fiction than the rest of it, yeah.
It looks like it wouldn't actually fly.
No. It's the highlight of the movie, and I don't understand it at all.
It's a little bit, where the fuck did this thing come from? And like, that's the fucked up geography of this movie.
Yeah. Because
that thing is far away, yo. And
yeah.
Like, how does he get there so fast when Jessica Biel just drops over North Korea? Because they have to go from Tajikistan to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So it'd be sort of be going the same way, I think. Sort of. But farther.
Maybe, unless he went to the Indian Ocean. Is it in the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't understand the geography of this movie at all.
There's a really quick shot when they're talking about... it's called Camel Hump 9 is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Another great name.
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a shot of the map of the world... Mm-hmm. And there's loads of symbols on different places, and they select one, and you see like a pictogram of the Zeppelin come up.
Oh.
And the pictogram is over the Pacific Ocean.
Okay, yeah.
Height-wise around Costa Rica and all the way to the left of the map.
Really? Is that far over?
Yeah. But that's like...
Oh my gosh.
Because the world is round, you could also say that's like all the way to the right.
Okay.
But yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. But Eddie is denied refueling.
Yes,
so he shoots the end of the fuel pump line and just sticks his nozzle in.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Because it's leaking and it apparently doesn't have a failsafe or something.
Don't ask me. This whole scene is just bonkers.
Yeah. But it fuels up. Judge Lucas is able to fuel up as well, but... Mm-hmm. The Zeppelin is just going around in circles, and because it's been leaking, there's this massive cloud of fuel.
Circular cloud.
Just floating in the air. because fuel particles are really light. I don't know if you know this.
They float. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Lighter than air. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. And the Zeppelin just keeps leaking fuel, keeps going around in circles. Eddie flies through the cloud and his boosters ignite the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a huge explosion that NASA would have seen.
Yes.
Had it been real. And then they fly back into Russia.
To fight some Russian fighter jets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
I also wrote down when Richard Roxburgh's character is talking to, I think, Sam Shepard. He says something like, Eddie doesn't care who he learns from. He can learn from Adolf Hitler and Captain Kangaroo.
So it watches TV now.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of the chatbot Tai by Microsoft.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it was a self-learning AI chatbot thing. They let it loose on the internet, but 16 hours after they launched it, they had to shut it down because it turned into a racist.
No! Oh, AI, why?
True story. Oh. Yeah.
This is the future, people.
Oh, so again, man. Stealth predicted the future.
Yes, this movie is genius. How did they come up with this stuff? Where's their crystal ball at?
Yeah,
I need to know.
So yeah, they fight the Russians in the air. Kind of a cool scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But this time, Eddie gets hit by debris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd think he'd be able to dodge that, but no.
Nope.
Russian debris is different.
Yeah. Didn't have any data on Russian debris. So he's willing to make a deal with Josh Lucas to save himself, sort of.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, maybe that makes sense. I don't know. Yeah.
But he knows he can't land or crash because then he would come into enemy hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go to Alaska.
Yeah. So they team up. Josh Lucas helps him put out the fire in his wing by blowing up the sea.
Yeah. He nukes a lake and that causes like the water to wash over Eddie.
Yeah.
Very romantic. It's like Flashdance with a nuke.
Yeah. Like you said, they go to Alaska, and Sam Shepard tells Josh Lucas that Jessica Biel is fine. Then Josh Lucas says, I have a new friend now. I'm going to ask my new friend, Eddie, if he can hack into something and find out what really happened.
Yeah.
So they do, and he learns that she is in North Korea. But they land in Alaska. Not a soft landing for Josh, but he manages, because he's a top gun. And this is like the best scene in the movie, every frame from now on basically is, because all the stuff in North Korea is fucking aces.
Yes.
And the stuff in Alaska is amazing as well.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because this movie was made with the cooperation of the U.S. military. So like they got permission to use like aircraft carriers and all that kind of stuff, and probably had like the Pentagon approve the script. Yeah, this part is just so weird compared to everything else, because it's like, if you join the military and follow your conscience, then the Black Ops will come and torture you to death.
Yeah.
This does not make me want to join the military, yet it was made with the cooperation of the military, so who approved this script in the Pentagon? It's ridiculous, because Josh Lucas, he gets treated for his injuries or whatever, and the doctor, who's like this mercenary working for the U.S. government or Black Ops guy, he tries to kill him. And join the U.S. military, follow your conscience, get murdered. I don't understand this at all.
No, and Sam Shepard's character is like the actual bad guy of the film.
Yeah.
And he's the commanding officer in, is it the Navy?
Yeah.
I think it's so confusing because in my mind, Navy, that's boats. But this movie's about pilots.
I think the Navy has their own aircraft that aren't part of the Air Force, I think.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on the subject, but I think that's how it works.
Otherwise, I'll just call him and tell him that planes aren't boats.
We regret to inform you that planes aren't boats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Oh, we're in the Alaska Black Ops site.
Oh, yeah. So the doctor, he has like a cabin full of vials that say morphine.
Yeah.
And he grabs one that just says serum.
you couldn't possibly be more vague with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the serum out. Which one? The one that says serum. Yeah. The one that heals people or the one that kills people? I don't know anymore.
Like the morphine is clear. It's see-through. And then the serum is like darker.
Yeah.
But it's right there amidst all...
The first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
He uses it a lot, you know. That's the message the U.S. Navy wanted to send out with this film. We kill a lot of our own people with serums.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also weird because, like, as I talked about the structure of this movie, because at this point, all the stuff with Eddie is done, basically. Like, Eddie is no longer a threat. They're friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's like 20, 30 minutes of movie left.
Yeah. And it's some of the best parts of the movies, even.
Yeah. But it's in that way, it's like very similar to 2001, as we said. Because if you ask people, what's 2001 about? They say, oh, it's about an AI gone rogue or a computer.
Yeah.
And this one, the same, but like it isn't. 2001 is about like a black box.
Monolith.
That makes, yeah, a monolith that makes people evolve or something.
Yeah.
And this one is about true love between a boy and a girl.
And a machine.
Yeah. 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 Because now he has to escape the Black Ops mercenary guys and save Jessica Biel in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this by flying Eddie.
Yeah.
Because... Luckily, we had that line earlier where he said, it's an AI plane. Why does it have a seat?
So yeah.
They explained that part away. It's for like testing or something. Yeah, sure. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it makes sense, I guess. So it works.
Yes. But I think but this...
That...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you
go ahead. I was going to say, like, those Black Ops people seem pretty nasty. Like, they got, like, the bed wire with the electricity rigged up to it. It's like, this is your government at work. This is, like, our government propaganda. We torture people. And it's just like, what is going on here? Did the Pentagon just say, did they really approve this script when they, like, allowed the U.S. allows the filmmakers to make it on U.S. aircraft carriers? Did they really read the script, or did they just, like, say, oh, this has got to be pro-U.S.? Of course we'll approve it. Because it's, like, mercenaries torturing people to death with bed frames and all that good stuff. It's just... It blows my mind. That's all I can think about when I think about stealth now. It's like, what the stealth? They torture people now. The U.S. is like, I don't get it at all. I don't understand.
Well, was that known at this point? Guantanamo Bay and all the stuff from Zero Dark Thirty, the torture and...
I think so. I think it was known at this time.
Okay.
But it's still a weird thing to have in a movie that was approved by the Pentagon. I don't know. But we do see a guy fall in the bed frame and get electrocuted to death. So it makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Richard Roxburgh is here as well because he has to deactivate Eddie, which luckily he doesn't. And then Josh Lucas gets into Eddie and causes the massive explosion that they had to warn NASA about.
Yeah. It's a good one, too. People go flying.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's cars or jeeps on fire flipping over while stunt guys are being pulled on wires away from the massive explosion. It is fucking great.
It is. It's one of the highlights.
Yeah.
That and the Zeppelin. Yeah.
Yes. That and the Led Zeppelin. Yes. And then he blows up the guard tower where the one guy is shooting at Richard Roxburgh in a BMW.
Yeah.
Because there was also a BMW in the hangar in Alaska, luckily.
Yes. Black Ops guys got style.
Yeah. And that explosion is great as well when he blows up the guard tower. But then he goes from, there's even like we see the world map. And on the world map, Alaska and Russia are like this close. I don't know if it has to do with the skill or something, but if you look at that map, it really seems like Russia and Alaska are... Like, it seems like Sarah Palin was right when she said she could see Russia from her house.
Maybe that's where she got this from.
Yeah. She watched this movie and she was like, wow, Russia's close to Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah. Favorite movie.
She probably thinks it's like super, super smart.
Yeah. It's set in Alaska. Yeah. I love them Black Op torture people.
Yeah. So then he flies from Alaska to North Korea in like 5 seconds.
Yes. And Jessica Biel, she's been shot in the meantime. She gets sniped by this evil North Korean captain. And there's actually like a kind of a noticeable blood splatter if I was viewing this correctly. I was kind of surprised. Like, early 2000s PG-13 film, and there's like this, like, what appears to be like a jet of blood flying out of her. And I was like, that's kind of surprising for this time period in a PG-13 movie. Assuming that's what I saw and not something else. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, I think I saw it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it probably helps that it's not lethal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the MPAA is really weird. It has very clear rules about what you can and cannot show.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really look at context much. So like, yeah. Oh, lethal wounds you can show, but not lethal wounds you can, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
But yeah, the shot that this happens in is amazing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because first we see the Korean sniper set up, and then we cut to a shot from very far away, zoomed in all the way on the sniper. It zooms out. Jessica Biel pops in the frame and gets shot.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah, it's a fantastic shot. Like, I thought this was a styleless crap action movie, but it does shit like this. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very Michael Bayesian in a way.
Yeah, not as much style as Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you watch a Michael Bay movie, you know you're watching a Michael Bay movie. he's an auteur.
Yes, he's an artist.
Yeah. Also, they talk about how Eddie's stealth functions are down, so they have to fly under the radar,
mm-hmm.
which apparently in North Korea is 15 feet or 4.5 meters, with like, that's really low. I don't think you can.
No.
And also, if that's the case, then why is this movie called Stealth?
Yeah, they never use the stealth capabilities like us at all. Like, what are you going to do? Use your stealth capabilities against Myanmar and Tajikistan?
Yeah. Maybe they do.
Maybe they have a lot of radar. I don't know.
No, but I think this is the first time they actually mention the word stealth.
Yeah.
It's when they don't have it.
Should have titled it something else.
Yeah. No stealth.
No stealth. Hey, that's not bad.
So we get this great shootout on the border,
mm-hmm.
the North Korean border, with South Korea, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just amazing, massive explosions. And there was this other weird thing that happened here. It was like, what? Because Jessica Biel takes cover in like the ruins of a house
mm-hmm.
on the border.
Mm-hmm.
I know that North Korea has built an entire town near the border just so that they can fool the South Koreans that there's people there or something.
Okay.
And then here there's just the ruins of a building. As if they would allow such a thing to be seen.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, because they're very image-oriented in Korea. Like, we got to have, like, North Korea has to project this image of, like,
yeah,
strength and prosperity, even though it's anything but, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fine. I can excuse this.
Yeah.
I don't watch this movie for an accurate representation of North Korea.
No. Or anything, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Lucas gets out of Eddie, and then they get fired at by a helicopter, and Eddie self-sacrifices.
It's a beautiful moment. Yes, it's beautiful. I cried.
Yeah,
I did not cry, but I should have.
But it's kind of a cool moment.
Yeah.
That was stolen by Star Wars 8, sort of.
Yes, that's right. Yes, The Last Jedi, when they do the hyperspace jump and like ram into the First Order fleet. Yeah.
Rian Johnson, you hack.
Another thing you stole.
Yeah.
Then the wing shot in the casino.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. And the sniper guy's there as well. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, Judge Lucas's rifle has a grenade launcher in it.
Yeah.
He's just been firing regular bullets, but now when he needs it, he can fire a grenade.
At the main baddie.
Yeah.
He knows it's the main baddie.
Yeah. The gun knows.
Yes. Which is a decent stunt. Yeah.
Yeah, he gets thrown into a barbed wire fence.
Mm-hmm.
Looks kind of gnarly. Looks cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eddie self-sacrifices against the massive helicopter, and they're safely across the border, and there's no World War III.
Or is there?
there probably is. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone dies at the end, yeah.
The end.
That's your Everyone's Hollywood dead. Ending.
Yeah.
Pentagon approved. And they have a funeral for Jamie Foxx, which I was almost expecting them to have a funeral for the AI plane there for a while. I thought they were going to have a big photo of the big AI orb and be like, oh, he's dead now. But nope, they didn't. They didn't do that. Just Jamie Foxx. He's the only one that gets a funeral.
Yeah. And of course, Sam Shepard. We forgot he...
Oh, yeah.
I think we're supposed to believe that he shot himself, right?
That's what I got from it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because Joe Morton comes in to arrest him
mm-hmm.
after he's done some terrible, terrible things. And he's like, give me 1 minute alone. And Joe Morton is like, yeah, sure. Why?
Not suspicious at all.
No. He's going to have plenty of time alone if you take him to jail like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
Yes.
But yeah. And we get a final scene between Jessica Biel and George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
The love story comes to an end. satisfying conclusion.
That's what I was looking forward to the whole time.
Yes, because George Lucas has a speech of like, yeah, now there's just two of us, and that's a prime number, so that's good,
I guess. Lucky.
And then I do like Jessica Biel's final line of the movie, which is, oh, just tell me you love me, you pussy.
Which is cutting through the bullshit of the film, yeah.
Yeah.
None of this prime number stuff anymore.
Proof that this movie's actually feminist.
After all we saw, yeah. Eddie was actually a woman the whole time, yes.
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't it, remember?
Oh, that's right. They had a discussion about the pronouns. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the movie Stealth in maybe too much detail.
No, not enough.
No, that's true. I really liked it. You said it's like a so bad it's good movie, but I don't know if I enjoyed it as a so bad it's good movie. Maybe I just enjoyed it.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it does have some so bad it's good elements, but
oh yeah,
it is enjoyable because the exciting parts are, believe it or not, exciting. Yeah. Like all the fast jets flying around and zipping through the air and big explosions, and even the ground combat is lots of fun. And so, yeah, I mean, it's enjoyable in both ways, both as like an ironic way and an unironic way, I guess.
Yeah. The score, the music, absolutely terrible. Some of the CGI, not great, but it sort of adds to the early 2000s flavor that makes it enjoyable.
Yes, very much so.
And I think it's weird. I don't know why this movie is still not sort of embraced, because it feels like people could enjoy this nowadays. People should embrace this a bit more.
I agree with you. I was surprised when I saw it had like a Rotten Tomato score of like -17. I was like, this isn't that bad. This is kind of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And did you stay until after the credits? Did you turn it off?
I fast forwarded through the credits. Then I learned that there's this post credit scene. I learned there on is. IMDb. Yes.
Yeah. Where we see Eddie is still alive in North Korea.
Oh no, he's taken to a North Korean labor camp. He has to do some shoveling and pickaxing.
He gets put into a submarine, and then Tommy Lee Jones comes and steals him.
Oh yes, please have this crossover.
There's still time. Tommy Lee Jones is still alive.
Yes. Steven Seagal in it too. Steven Seagal meets Eddie.
Yeah.
I would do anything to see that. Please let Hollywood make that happen with Hollywood and Pentagon approval.
Yeah, and we've seen in various movies that Steven Seagal knows his way around the computer.
Yes.
He knows AI.
Oh, he knows everything. He's a genius.
So I also, on my DVD, I wanted to check out some of the extras, but they're all about the music. Jesus.
Oh!
The worst part of the movie, and that's what they spend their money on for the extras.
Oh my gosh.
But there's one sort of behind the scenes of the music feature where they pretty much start with, yeah, soundtrack is great. We got David Bowie and Chrissy Hynde.
Yeah.
What? But yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean, I didn't notice David Bowie, but he's in there.
I didn't either, yeah. Now I didn't notice Chrissy Hynde during the end credits music, if that's all she did.
I did too, but only after I knew it was her.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I like the Pretenders, but I don't immediately recognize her.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's kind of weird, because this movie is basically just, I think it had like 4 original songs by Incubus. But they open the making of with like, yeah, we got David Bowie. Look at us, we got Glass.
Yeah, we got David Bowie to sing like one note. And then we have Incubus doing everything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know how the members of Incubus feel about that. Like, the lead is like, we got David Bowie and Chrissy Hynde. And, oh yeah, I guess we got this other band, like, Incubus. Incubus? How do you pronounce that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Incubator?
Yeah. Rob Cohen also did 3 episodes of Miami Vice, by the way. But
Oh, Stein not here. Oh, sad face.
Too bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe next time we can do another one of his excellent movies. Can talk about Miami Vice some more.
Yes, XXX.
Or not that one. Not that one.
Okay, not that one. Okay.
Maybe Hurricane Heist.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet, but it looks good.
Yeah.
And by good, I mean could be good schlock.
Yeah. So, I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
underrated movie, underappreciated. It's not a masterpiece, but it's lots of fun. Stealth, yes. Check it out.
Yes, check it out.
And while you're busy checking things out, visit our website, alloutofbubblegum.com. Check out the Discord, check out the Patreon, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now I know what I want for Christmas.
One's control, we've entered our mission window.
6-3 seconds to primary and counting.
Come on, control, we have our targets.
Come on, I need an alternative. We got these guys in the bullseye here.
Ding, 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 ding.
Operator, to UCAV, talk to me, give me something.
Boom. Okay, missile launch, pshing, poom.
Negative, will not work. Central Prime says AGM truncheons cannot achieve necessary velocity for penetration.